This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
Number one pick in the NHL draft, but the men that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make them need to run.
That's
I'm every trash, CMT for short. Wonder if we best, once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Oh, yes. Wednesday, May the 17th, DiPietro and Rothenberg with you, 98.7 ESPN. Yankees, not peaky-peaky, now some extra substance. They win a game against a team they clearly do not like and that does not like them. Mets, you know, every day it's, are the Mets in trouble? Are the Mets bad? Yeah, the Mets are not a good baseball team. They are not a good baseball team, and I don't want to hear anybody complaining about Verlander getting booed off the mound because this was not directed at Verlander. This was directed overall at the entire team. Western Conference Game 1 last night. Jokic is unbelievable. We may do Stump Rothenberg today. I haven't decided whether we're going to
officially. We will.
No, we will. You have started out in a nasty off-air mood. But because I'm the gentleman I am, I will say good morning to you, my dear friend, one Rick DiPietro.
You want to tussle? How am I supposed to feel? Yeah, I want to tussle. How am I supposed to feel today?
What does that mean?
Oh, do you feel good today?
No, I don't feel good about that. No, but I didn't take it out on you immediately. Well, look at these grapes. Look at these bananas.
The bananas are great. No, I don't want to get into a fruit conversation because it feels like that's how we start every show.
Yeah.
Grapes are embarrassing. There's five grapes in the bag.
There's probably 75 grapes.
No, not even close to 75 grapes. There's maybe six edible grapes in there.
Then you know what?
There's some diseased grapes.
Don't eat the grapes.
RJ's not going to eat them, and he loves grapes. Look at him.
Don't eat the grapes.
He's distanced himself from
them. You are so nasty towards everything I do. All I try to do is buoy the show, help the show, and all you do is bring a nasty nature to the show every day. And you know what? I'm sick of it. And because I'm sick of it, I might stand in the way of doing Stump Rothenberg today. Because you got your lackey who's going to give me some half-assed question that you're going to sign off on. It was going to embarrass you and him and Cassie and the family.
No, I had a talk with him this morning on the way in. I said, don't embarrass me again. He said, well, you find the question for me. I said, no, that's not how this works. Said, you want to be on the radio, you come up with a question.
You would admit his question last week was disgusting.
I gave him a good question, and he went on his own. I said, you want to do it once?
He branched
fine.
On his own.
Good. Now it's you.
All right.
His question, it's the he'll deal with all the repercussions.
But you would agree with me,
yes,
last week's
bad.
Question from
awful.
Brandon was dreadful.
It was horrendous.
All right.
How are you? I'm doing all right.
Yeah.
I've been better.
You going to Mets game tonight, right?
I'm going to the Mets game tonight. It's too much, man. It's just gut punch after gut punch, and you're waiting for this thing to get better, and you thought that last night maybe, you know, Justin Verlander goes out and does what you expect him to do, in all fairness. I mean, you expect Justin Verlander to go out there and be the stopper, put an end to this. And I know Tampa's a good team with a really good offense, but that's not...
That's disgusting.
It wasn't...
And again,
what anyone expected.
If you lose last night's game, and we're doing a lot of Yankees today too, a lot of Mets, 1-800-919-3776. Good for you. You got the call right? Wembanyama to the Spurs. So that's going to happen.
Months ago I said it.
Amazing that the Spurs land Duncan and this guy. I mean, franchise-changing players.
Oh, yeah, Robinson, Duncan, and now him.
So it's unbelievable. But I think the Mets fan, it's not the loss last night. It's the culmination of what this now is. It's you can't win a game.
It's the accumulation.
Yes.
Of it all.
Right.
Because you're just waiting for this to
get
better.
You're 6-16.
Right.
And you lost 22.
That's
you right
correct.
Now, and you can't argue this, are a horrendous baseball team.
You're not good. And here's the problem, too. And it's like, the more you try to figure out what the hell is happening, and... You know, the entire time you keep asking me the same question, are you concerned, are you concerned? And of course there's concern.
You have to be concerned
right.
now.
And I played it off as, you know what, I'm going to do the, I'm going to forget the start of the season because, you know, dealing with, you know, Scherzer and then the sticky stuff and the, you know, 10-game suspension and Verlander not pitching. And, you know, I was trying to play it off like, you know, once the rotation is back, supposed to be the strength of the team. Then we can kind of restart this thing, recalibrate, and nothing's changed. Because the entire time when you ask me the question, the lineup's been the same. And they're in a spot now where, you know, Verlander goes into yesterday's game, which was his first start at Citi Field, and, you know, the guy wants to be great. I mean, that's why he is going to be a Hall of Famer, because he goes out there, he has expectations for himself, and you saw after the game, he took blame, that he expects to be the stopper. He's being paid $43 million. I hate to talk about money, but that's the reality. At 40 years old, right, coming off of Cy Young, you go out there, and, you know, you're the medicine that your team needs, because they have the, you know, utmost confidence in you. They can kind of relax. But here's how it works is he puts pressure on himself because he wants to be that guy and he wants to go out there and pitch well and he knows his team's not scoring any runs. So what happens now is that Tampa comes out, scores runs, which puts pressure on the offense. So pitcher comes in, we're not going to score much, so I have pressure on myself. He doesn't get the job done. Now there's pressure on the offense and now both stink.
Right. And the first 3-run home run, I don't know if you felt the same way. The second that went out, I'm like, that's the game. They are not coming back and scoring 4 runs. This game's over. Tampa's better. Verlander doesn't have his best stuff tonight, and they've lost the game. And that's where you are now.
Well, here's the thing, though. It wasn't even having his best stuff. It's a really good lineup, first of all.
Yeah.
And then when you look at that inning, that Brandon Lau was like, it was a 9-pitch at bat, right? They had good at bats against him. And then Paredes is just, dude, I mean, he is scorching hot. And 3-2, two outs, and he hangs one. And you pay for it with a 3-run home run, and you're absolutely right. It's like, okay, now we're down 3.
It's so deflating.
Yeah, we had one. I mean, we're down. We had one infield hit through the first 4 innings, and you're already down 4-0.
Right. The game is over. It was non-competitive, and I don't know if Buck's going to, we'll hear from Buck Showalter a little later in the show, going to come on and say, well, we're close in hits, and we fought back, but I'm sick of it. I'm sick of the excuses. I'm sick of the team, to be honest with you. I watch every game. That's what we do. I love the team, but I'm sick of them. I'm really, really, as a Mets fan, I am at my last rope right now.
They're beating you down.
Yeah.
It's
terrible.
No, and you watch every inning of these games, I mean, and you try to, you know, look for reasons why it's going to change, and that you're having a hard time finding them. You really are. I mean, you ended, hey, want a positive? You ended the 56 straight innings without a home run.
Right, so you hit a couple meaningless home runs last night. All right.
It was Brett Beatty.
Yeah, I get it, Escobar too, but I mean, can you hit home runs in like a tie game?
In meaningful innings?
Or when you're down a run or up a run, like when it actually matters? When the guy hits the home run and you don't have any emotion, when you're like, okay.
So when you're already down 6?
Yeah, that doesn't move the needle.
The solo home run doesn't move for you?
No, not at all. Now, this portion of the show driven by the All-American Ford Auto Group, the number one volume Ford group in the Northeast. Huge locations in Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant. Shop allamericanford.net. That's allamericanford.net. Very windy today.
Windy today, is it? I
didn't
even notice.
Really?
Nice out. The walk was beautiful this morning.
A lot of pollen all over the place.
Gross.
Yeah.
My allergy's been terrible.
Terrible.
Hey, did you see what else happened last night?
Domingo Germán got thrown out of
the game. No, in the Mets game, if it wasn't worse. If it wasn't bad enough. Our crown jewel. The big, you know, outside of, you know, signing Nimmo and McNeil and bringing in Verlander. The crown jewel of the offseason. The ginormous scoreboard. Went down.
It broke?
It went down.
Tell me it's no more.
No, they got it fixed. And when they got it fixed, the entire scoreboard was a giant Tampa logo.
And they couldn't remove...
The entire logo.
And that's, you know, that's the Mets season.
Right
there in the microcosm. Yeah. That defines the Mets season.
They get it fixed, Siri home run.
Right. He's good, too.
The thing is with Tampa...
How about that slide at the home? It was awesome. His necklace game stinks, though.
They're all of them.
Awful.
The whole Rays organization...
His necklace game is the worst.
They wear, like, 4 shirts, every one of them, and they have 5, 10, 12 necklaces.
His is awful, though.
It must slow them down. They're carrying that much extra
weight. Didn't slow him down. And they have a little... They got a little cockiness to them, too.
Yeah, they do.
Whew.
Speaking of a cockiness and a we don't like the other team, that for a regular season baseball game, that had everything last night.
I love it.
I love it, too. That Yankees-Blue Jays game, firstly, they hate each other. Okay? They hate each other. Toronto's, they're kind of gross. All right? I don't even like the Yankees, but Toronto's kind of gross with their antics, and they don't back it up, and they're talking, and, you know, he's not in
They're chirpy.
Yeah, very, very
they're
chirpy.
They're kind of like the Memphis Grizzlies-ish.
Yeah, but you have nothing. You have nothing to show for it.
No, they got talent.
They have a ton of talent. But they have nothing to show for it.
There's a level of unwarranted cockiness, I would say.
So, some battling, some managers screaming at Rojas. I guess it was Rojas who was screaming at,
well,
right?
Well, no, I don't know who he was screaming at. I mean, initially it was Rojas. So what happened after the whole Judge peeky-peeky was that Toronto got in touch with Major League Baseball and said they didn't like where the first and third base coaches for the Yankees were standing. They wanted them in the box because, as it turns out, it was the Yankees' first base coach, Travis Chapman, that was relaying the pitches to Aaron Judge.
Yeah.
So they picked it up. I mean, the kid, the Blue Jays pitcher, actually came out. There's a story in The Athletic. He said as he came set, the timing of when he went from a fastball grip to a slider grip was slower. So fastball, quicker from set.
So they picked up on that.
To delivery. Mm-hmm. When it was the slider, it was slower. On top of the fact that he threw six straight sliders and the last one was a bad one. But so it was Chapman that was relaying the science to Judge, which is not cheating. It's exactly what we said.
Which
happened.
Is what we said yesterday. And you know, it's weird. I don't know if you did. I got all these tweets of he didn't cheat. He wasn't cheating. We didn't say he was cheating.
I started the show by saying I don't believe it was cheating.
We
period.
Didn't say he was cheating. What we said is that the Yankees, that he was not peeking into the dugout because guys were chirping.
Right.
Is what we said.
We didn't believe the story.
No.
No. There was a reason why he was doing it.
It's not a legitimate story.
No, of course not. I mean, they pick something up, and good for them.
Yeah, I have zero, again, and I think you feel the same way. Correct me if I'm wrong or I'm speaking out of turn for you. I have zero issue with what the Yankees
zero.
Judge. Nothing, no problem at all. But don't sell me this bill of goods that we would never do that, and Judge is so upstanding that he would never, you know, peek out of the corner of his eye to get a sign from someone on the team, and that he was just upset because in the midst of an at-bat, guys were making so much noise in a game they were winning 6-0.
Right. Jay Jackson had something he was doing, and they explained it. He was slower when he would re-grip the ball to a slider. It was slower from gripping it to delivering it. They picked it up, and they went with it. Of course, I mean, you're looking for any edge you can get.
That's smart baseball.
Smart baseball.
Yes.
But baseball is so, the waters are so muddied now between what's gamesmanship and fair play and what's cheating. And also, I mean, you got to realize, too, it's, you know, make Toronto do the work. Make them figure it out. Make them go over the video as to why this guy's tipping his pitches.
Correct.
I mean, it's not like, I mean, I know the kid got sent down. Jay Jackson's not a kid, but Jay Jackson gets sent down. But, I mean, you don't want to give away what you found.
But even last night, like when Judge hits, and we were not saying Judge is not great or Judge was doing anything that's horrendous within, you know, the unwritten rules of baseball. But then last night, he hits the home run. It's like, they're like, oh, see, we're vindicated. We never said Judge wasn't great.
It's ridiculous. And that was a bomb. It ends up breaks the WestJet sign.
He hits the most like prestigious home
runs
majestic.
I've ever. Oh,
I mean, they are unbelievable.
Well, here's the best part of it.
Runs.
So he hit 11 home runs. 6 of the 11 have given the Yankees the lead.
Very un-Mets-like.
We just talked about Mets,
like down 6-0, Beatty, down 8-3, Escobar, right? Let's be fair, meaningless home runs. Judge, meaningful, important, huge home runs.
Meaningful maybe if it's confidence. Like if all of a sudden now you feel like, okay, I have confidence, could be meaningful, but in terms of where the game was
scoreboard,
at. Scoreboard, right.
Right, Judge, always meaningful.
And then on top of that, my favorite part of the whole game yesterday, and we'll get into the Herman just stupidity, because that's what it is, was when John Schneider, I don't know who he was looking at. Says, "Shut up, fat boy."
I know,
but like he's an Adonis.
Right.
Like he's a specimen.
Right. It's exactly like he's Giancarlo Stanton.
Yeah, right. Like, and
here's the tip: stop eating pizzas, fatty.
Your yeah. First baseman is Jack LaLanne. Come on,
right? Who got hurt fielding a pop up bunt yesterday?
I love it though. I love the animosity.
It's great. Well, listen. Let's be fair. Over 162 games, baseball can be a little bland at times.
Right.
It can. It has that, like, all right, another game, another day.
Well,
right?
The Yankees can be bland.
Yeah, but when there's teams that don't like each other, and then when there's talented teams that don't like each other, and Toronto, they have a lot to say. And they think they're good, they are good, and they dislike the Yankees. I think it's great. I love it.
Well, of course it is. I mean, the Yankees, everyone is out to get the Yankees. And if you're in this division, and you're a team that feels like they're on the come up, and they got a bunch of talent, that they're gunning for you. I mean, you have the Manoah thing. RJ hates Manoah. But, I mean, it's sometimes it's exactly what you need as a player, too, is that hatred, that animosity.
Absolutely, because now you're motivated to go into a game. Otherwise, and again, it's an important game. They're all important for the Yankees, especially against a divisional opponent, which is really talented when you're down in 7.5 games in the division. But it's just there's something juicier about the
every
Yankees
game is
the
important,
Blue Jays
though.
Right now.
Every game is important, but it's exactly why you see the level of play in the playoffs is different than the regular season. Because you know in your mind that it's important, but it's such a grind that you have tomorrow. In the playoffs, you might not have tomorrow, so there's a different kind of intensity. But when you play teams you hate,
that's right.
Like when we played the Rangers or the Penguins, you just
it's not Sorry, go ahead.
No, it's just not another game.
Right, exactly that.
It gets you to that
level.
It's
not like, all right, May 16th, we're going up against the Blue Jays, and let's yawn our way through this game. It's an important game, but, you know, whatever. We'll go. We'll show up. We'll play the best we can. We'll get a. Now it's like, I don't like them. They don't like us. Let's go.
Right. Because, I mean, you're out to, like, you don't want to just beat them. You want to embarrass them.
Yeah, absolutely. You got their managers saying stuff like that. Yeah. Right? Like, it's getting to the box. It got
heated. Well, then Aaron Boone did the same thing.
Yeah, it got heated. It's terrific. And then, of course, the big thing happening now is Domingo Germán thrown out of the game for cheating, right? I mean, fair to say.
Essentially cheating, yeah. Yeah. You read the reports afterwards. Again, we go with the stickiest hand, because when Scherzer did it, that was the stickiest hand.
Now, this is the stickiest hand, but herein lies the difference.
This is the difference.
The difference is, and I think you agree, Scherzer was the stickiest hand, they believe, due to rosin and sweat. This hand, stickiest hand they've ever seen, and they don't know what the substance
was. I'm all sticky. Well, they never said it with the Scherzer thing. They just said it was the stickiest hand, and he's the one that said it was rosin, and then with the alcohol and everything else.
Right.
This one, the umpire actually said afterwards that...
That was not rosin.
He didn't believe it was just rosin.
Yeah, exactly that.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't have a chauffeur to drive me in.
I don't have a chauffeur. I drive him in.
Oh, yeah.
This is backwards.
You are the chauffeur.
Yeah, this is backwards.
Well, if he's the intern, why is he not driving?
Thank you. Right. I got to come up with his questions. I got to drive him in.
So what do you get from him?
He told me he would mug me in that situation where I got mugged.
If you got mugged, he would help the mugger.
Exactly.
So what do you get?
Driver.
Nothing.
So what's the point of bringing him in?
Companionship.
So you get a warm body to talk to
in
the morning.
I guess so.
Yeah. He's nice.
Yeah, but it doesn't seem like the kind of relationship that I want to be involved in.
It's very one-sided.
Very one-sided.
Right. I mean,
thank you for being a friend.
When you're the one providing all the accoutrements,
right,
and he's providing you really nothing.
The only thing that he's ever provided me is disgusting videos of his hairless cats. He's got two hairless cats, bald cats.
Why?
Because he loves them. Because he's the cat daddy. And then the one has a problem where it sucks its own teat to pacify itself. I'm not joking. I have the video of it. It's like a pacifier.
Would you like to have a suckle of my zipper?
Yes.
How does that come up in conversation?
He told me.
You want to take the Cross Island or the LIE? Have I told you about my cat?
It's the younger one, yeah. It's got a real problem.
And this is in the college dorm.
He dresses the cats up in outfits.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, exhibit A.
He thinks he's Dr. Evil.
So he has some issues.
Yeah, right, like Mr. Bigglesworth. He thinks he's Dr. Evil.
He has some real issues.
Real issues.
All right, 1-800-919-3776. So, Germán... there's no defense of this,
it's
right?
It's stupid. It's stupidity. This is the same crew that checked him on April 15th against the Twins. Remember when Baldelli lost his mind?
Of course. And there was questions that took forever. Remember, they kept checking him.
Because they let him go back into the game. Go wash your hands and come back. And Baldelli's like, whoa, what are we doing here?
Why do you allow him to do that? So he's done. Clearly, he's using what the umpires thought was an illegal substance. Not just a lot of rosin, not the alcohol, not the sweat. Something well beyond that. So he's out.
So he's out, and you can't replace him. So now instead of 26, you got to go with 25.
Right.
And then you lost Hamilton with the groin.
Exactly.
And you had to get 18 outs from your bullpen.
And you did.
And he was in the midst of pitching three perfect innings.
Well, okay, but why was he pitching three perfect innings?
Well, here's the thing, though. And I was going back and forth with Kay during the broadcast. What aggravates me about this whole thing is that there's so much that aggravates me about lots of stuff. But we have the ability now during the games. Like Cone brought it up immediately. his spin rates. Why would you use sticky stuff for your spin rate, right? That was the whole thing with Spider Tech.
Right.
His spin rates weren't up. Like, it was negligible. No, like, there was nothing to really be gained.
Last night, spin rates were not
up. No. So if you have that, Cohn has the information right there. Major League Baseball has the information right there. They don't know what it is because it's subjective. Like, we don't know. I mean, we just assume because it's so sticky that it's not rosin.
Well, the umpire said he put his hand on Herman's hand and couldn't get it off.
But Scherzer said the same thing with Scherzer, and he swears it was rosin.
Right.
And so does Herman. And everyone wanted to point to his pants. So everyone knows, because I watched it a couple different times, and you know I have this disgusting habit where I spit in a cup. When he went back into the dugout after, because he comes out for the fourth, they check him, kick him out, he's back in the dugout. He takes his big, giant, fat dip in that he had in out, and then he wiped his hand on his pants. So that glob you saw on his pants,
right.
It was dip. It was chewing tobacco. Because everyone was focused on that like it was the pine tar.
Like, what is that?
Off.
Is he using that off of his pants?
It was the pine tar coming off. It was the dip that he had on his fingers, which is probably disgusting anyway.
That is
sticking
gross.
Your dirty
I thought you're not allowed to dip anymore.
No, he does. You ever notice the big, fat dip he has in his mouth?
I didn't realize it was dip, though.
Yeah, what did you think it was?
I don't know, gum?
Like an orange slice?
No, I didn't think it was an orange slice. I thought maybe he was consuming a banana. No, I don't know. There's other things. Guys, you have seeds all the time now.
There's like Marlon Brando and then Godfather. Yeah, maybe that's what Aaron Judge does as part of his captaincy. He brings fruit. Maybe he's the fruit guy.
You know what? Maybe he's stealing my thing.
Home runs, he hits bombs and brings fruit.
Maybe it is.
Yeah.
I do radio, I bring fruit. He hits bombs, he does fruit. Maybe it's the same thing.
How funny was Kay last night, too, when the... Shut up, fat boy. He's like, maybe he's talking to me.
Yeah. Maybe they're talking to me.
Yeah, but it's bad. I mean, it's no good. I mean, again, it's the same crew.
All right, so let me ask you this, though. You say spin rate not affected.
No.
Then what's the point?
Just, I mean, I think it's probably a confidence thing. Like
a psychological thing?
Well, I just know when I pitch, and I know it's men's league, but still it's pitching. Like there's a level of comfort knowing you have that kind of grip on the baseball, location-wise.
But you need it to that extent? Like, you need to the point where the umpire says he's never seen anything like this before?
Probably not, especially in that situation where it's the same crew that's already checked you, so
right.
You're kind of on their
and
radar.
And you know you're on their radar, and if you do anything, they're going to go after you.
And then if you do get pinched, and it is over-sticky, that this isn't like, I can fight it. I mean, Scherzer was like, well, I know who's this. The arbitrator is going to be the league, and the umpire says my hand's too sticky. Guess who's getting a 10-game suspension?
Yeah, so that's it. So you won't see Herman until the end of May.
And you put your team in a tough spot. Last night you put them in a tough spot, and they came through with the 18 outs. And now having to play man down because you can't replace them on the roster is a problem.
It's a big problem. 1-800-919-3776. So there's some hatred between the Yankees and the Blue Jays. Judge with a huge home run. Some screaming back and forth from managers and third base coaches and the like. And then, of course, Herman thrown out of the game for the umpires claiming non-rosin, non-alcoholic wipe, non- sweat, sticky stuff.
But it goes back to what we talked about with Scherzer, and I had my buddy Brian, who's the catcher for our team, say, just check them before they come out. If the goal is to only let them use the rosin that's on the mound before every inning, check their hands. Because a lot of these guys, like Scherzer was doing, he was applying the rosin in the dugout.
Right.
And then coming out with his hand already sticky. So we want to just use the rosin on the mound, come out, make sure their hand's not sticky, and then they can apply whatever they want on the mound.
So what is the, maybe there is, like, is there a rule for when you get thrown out? Because Herman last time didn't get thrown out. Scherzer gets thrown out.
Well,
Herman this time gets thrown out.
I guess they were trying to ease into it. Like, give you the benefit of the doubt because they don't really know what it is.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Like, how sticky might... Like, if me and you both sat here and got the rosin worked up in our hands and we started to sweat, I profusely sweat. So, like, we could sit here for 20 minutes of sweating together with rosin and my hand could be way stickier than yours.
Right.
Like, we all react different. That's the problem I have with it. Is just you're assuming because it's so sticky that... Yeah, there's no way this can be rosin. Well, how do you... You don't really know. There's no baseline for how sticky my hand gets with rosin. And you can't fight it because it's my word against your word. And
so it's the umpire's discretion. If they deem it's too sticky, now you're out.
You're out.
Now you're out. All right. Well, he should know better, though. He should know better because he knows he was on their radar.
That's right.
And he knows it's the same group of umpires. So that's kind of stupid on Herman.
It's absolutely stupid.
And the Yankees, too.
And you put your team in a tough spot, but you're trusting the player that he's not going to be stupid.
Yeah, but you know what the Yankees have
to say? Well, did you think that Michael Pineda was going to put pine tar on his neck?
Nothing surprises me. Nothing.
Come on.
Really, nothing does. Let's go to Wes in East Hanover. Wes, good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Morning, fellas. Morning, company. You know, I think the sticky stuff and the signs that Judge was getting from the first base coach, they're two totally different things, right? And so the excuse, and we found it not to be true, is the whole chirping business. Okay. So my question is, it's against the rules of baseball to use a foreign substance to help get the grip on the ball. I know hitters like it when the pitchers have better grip. I get that. But this is the rule. It now throws your team down, like you said, a man for the next 10 days. You can't replace them, et cetera. So when do Major League Baseball players come out and start chirping at their pitchers who are putting the team at a disadvantage rather than just saying, well, the umpire screwed up, it was only rosin? When do the players start standing up, or is that against the bro code?
No, I think if the player finds out that, I mean, and players would know that Herman was using something other than the rosin, then yeah, you say something. Or the Yankees should know that.
But do
unless
you think
it's just
they
rosin.
Will?
Yes, they should.
I go back to the steroid era, right? Guys didn't say anything because that's what everyone was doing. Is everyone still trying to get around the sticky stuff, and they are aware of that, and they don't want to call anybody out because then that puts them in a dangerous spot? I just wonder about that.
Well, I think you've seen players call. I mean, Josh Donaldson called out Gerrit Cole about the sticky stuff, and then would bust his chops in the clubhouse, which apparently didn't go over very well. Yeah, I mean, if it starts costing you games and your ability, it affects your ability to win. The thing with steroids is, I mean, like when you first go back to when steroids started, and you had, you know, and it started well before this, but when it became something that everyone started to notice, was McGuire had the Androstene just sitting
right in his locker, yeah.
And I had guys on our team that started taking Androstene, and it was hilarious because they would take it and then they'd start doing push-ups, and they'd all get all, like, they turned bright red flush because it, like, you know what, I don't want to get into the whole whatever
it does.
Gets
your blood flowing.
Right. But it wasn't illegal at the time. Steroids was illegal, but taking, there was
the, right, that was that slippery slope.
Right. And it was helping your team win, not hurting your team win. If guys in your locker room or your clubhouse are starting to do stuff that's going to affect your ability to win, of course you're going to say something. Like losing Domingo Herman.
That's a big deal.
It's a big deal. So if you find out that he's using whatever he's using that's not rosin, and it's going to start affecting...
Yeah, you want to get involved in that. Put a stop to that.
Right.
Yeah. You think they want to use David Peterson?
They can have him.
Yeah.
You want to pick him up in Syracuse?
I'll pick him up. I'll drive him over to Scranton. Do an early morning start.
We'll swing by Rochester.
Uh-huh.
Think about this. Rochester.
Go to the PGA.
PGA Championship.
Yeah.
And then we'll pick up Pete and bring him back.
Okay.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Buster only with us here, 98.7 ESPN. Long time no speak, our MLB insider. He's the best in the business. Buster, good morning. How are you?
What's going on, guys?
So, firstly, did I hear this correctly? You have never had a cavity? We tried to get you yesterday. You were at the dentist, and then you told RJ you are cavity-free your entire life?
Yes. I have never had a cavity, and I absolutely give all credit to my late mother, my late great mother, who apparently passed on the greatest genes ever, because I am not going to sit here and claim that I floss 10 times a day and brush 10 times a day. You know, when I was in college, went 5 years without going to the dentist, that sort of thing, and I've never had a cavity.
Well, that's wonderful news. Wonderful news. Better certainly than the Mets. We'll get to the Mets. Let's start with the Yankees. So what do you make of this Herman thing last night? Like, is this so much of just like an open determination from the umpires that it's not right? Or is it obvious to you, clear in a way, that he needed to be removed from that game last night?
Based on what was on his pants, he wiped on his pants after, after coming out of the game. I mean, there clearly was something there. And the comments from the Yankees were so muted after the game that I think they, you know, essentially are acknowledging something there. It kind of reminded me of when Michael Pineda had that big gob of pine tar on his neck. And then after the game, everyone was like, yeah, okay, we understand. That's the way it felt with the Yankees. And especially with the way, you know, here's Herman, who's already been stopped by that umpire group. It was like someone who got, you know, pulled over by a cop going 75, and the cop says, you know what, I'm going to let you off, slow down. And then, like, the next time they see him, he's going 100. It made no sense, and he's got to make the adjustment. And it's, you know, clear from the time that Major League Baseball sent a memo to teams in mid-March and basically telling them that there's going to be enhanced enforcement, that gradually they're ramping this up. And, you know, not only, you know, the Yankees have felt it, the Mets have felt it, but across baseball, because in the second half of last year, it got out of control how many guys were using sticky substance. And so I'm not surprised that they've caught some people this year.
So, Buster, what's the actual protocol? Because, I mean, remember what happened with Scherzer is, I mean, it sounded like he was applying his own rosin before he came out to the mound. Yeah, are they told that they only want them using the rosin on the mound, or they as long as it's not too sticky, okay with them having their own rosin in the dugout or the clubhouse?
Yeah, I mean, from what I understand, you know, players can use, you know, their own rosin bag, which I personally find to be nuts. You know, I think the whole situation is kind of nuts. The idea that, you know, we've gone this long and they can't find a baseball that has a surface that everyone's comfortable with is crazy. You know, the weekend after Max Scherzer got suspended, had a long conversation with him in San Francisco. You know, he didn't want to go on the record, you know, off the record. That was my question. What I said to him was, I can't believe between the Players Association and Major League Baseball that they can't get together and figure something out to avoid this whole thing. If they could find a baseball with a tacky surface, as they have in Korea, as they have in Japan, all of this conversation would be bypassed. And so I put it on Major League Baseball to get it done so we don't have situations last night. And I'm sure that the umpires, the players, everybody would love for that to happen.
Buster Olney with us here, 98.7 ESPN. So let's go back. This is some series between the Yankees and the Blue Jays. A lot of drama all over the place. Two nights ago, when Judge is peeking out of the corner of his eye and then comes up with the excuse of, well, I was just looking, you know, guys were chirping and making a lot of noise. I didn't think it was appropriate. You don't buy that. I don't think he did anything wrong. Rick doesn't either. But you don't buy that he was just looking into the dugout to see what the guys were chirping about, do you?
I don't take that at face value, no. I do think that probably what was happening, and I know this is what the Blue Jays absolutely believe, is that, you know, that whether it was the catcher, the pitcher, the Yankees were figuring out what was going to be thrown, and Judge may have been getting some sort of cues. And it was interesting because the Blue Jays people I talked to yesterday were basically saying after the game, you know, the Blue Jays were like, yeah, we have a problem. Like, this is on us. They clearly were somehow conveying to Judge what the next pitch was going to be. And they, you know, they didn't look at that as being something outside the box like the Houston Astros thing was. And, you know, they talked internally about making adjustments. Now, they did reach out to Major League Baseball, and this whole back and forth between the two teams got ramped up. And it, you know, reminded me actually of something that David Cohn said to me when he was a player, that, you know, he would go into a media guide and look at the profiles of players on the other team and find a reason not to like them and find, like, to get, you know, sort of get, you know, jacked up to try to get angry at the other side. That's what last night felt like. Like, they all know that the Yankees weren't really doing anything untoward, and the Jays understand that the adjustments that they needed to make were on their side. I mean, shoot, they sent the pitcher down who gave up the home run in the eighth inning, you know, sent him to the minor leagues yesterday. So it's not like they were like, you poor guy, you know, the Yankees were cheating. They were like, yeah, you stunk. You're going back down to the minor leagues. And, you know, it all played out last night with a lot of drama in the background. But I did think during the course of that game, I said, you know, this feels like there's going to be punches thrown at some point.
Yeah, I thought it was great. Man with the best teeth in the business, Buster Olney, joins us here on the show. Buster, what exactly, so just explain to me, because you talked to all these players, what's gamesmanship, fair play, as far as, you know, no, I don't want to say sign stealing because we got the pitch coming and everything else, but I mean, if a pitcher's tipping his pitches and you want to relay it to the hitter, what's fair play and what's not?
The separator is the use of technology, right? If there's a runner at second base and the catcher, you know, is giving signs or something, the pitcher's holding the ball in such a way that the runner at second can tell he's going to throw a slider and he conveys that information to the hitter, that's fair game. If, you know, coaches can see from, you know, their position at first or third base what the sign is because the catcher's lazy and he's kind of, you know, giving away the pitch, you know, too early, setting up too early, that's considered to be all fair game. The difference is, and what, you know, why so many players were offended by the Astros was the use of technology. And it's a clear line in the eyes of players. Besides that, as they say, that, you know, what it's here from the Blue Jays people yesterday was, yeah, that we need to make our site better. We need to handle that better than what we were doing.
A cavity-free Buster only with us here, 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, no.
I mean, listen, you have teeth like that. You deserve a ton of credit. All right, I'm at DEFCON 4. Buster, how worried should the Mets fan be about this really horrendous team right now?
I think they should be worried, no question, because when you structure a team in the way that they did, where they spent a lot of money on the rotation, in the guys who are really accomplished, and they have a lineup which, you know, at its best is a good lineup, but certainly doesn't have the firepower that the Braves have or the Phillies have. They need the pitching staff to be elite, and they just simply are not. Now, look, I thought last night, while, you know, Verlander's final pitching line was ugly, he clearly was having issues with his slider. I put that performance, I chalked that up the fact that the Rays were so good. Like, their plate appearances against Verlander in that third inning when they, you know, really wore him down. It was like a boxer throwing body shot after body shot after body shot with Verlander. You could see him getting worn down. You know, that they built up to, you know, in the end, how many runs they generated against him. But they need Verlander to be elite. And they need Scherzer to be elite. That's the way the team is structured. And we don't have any signs yet that they actually have that kind of rotation.
Buster, is Billy Epler good at his job?
I think he's good at his job. And I think the gamble, you know, personally, I think I know I've had conversations with him about what their plan was, you know, how they got to this point. But the guys they bet on, the way the team is, without pitching coming through the farm system, they needed these bets to pay off. And look, there's no getting around the fact that it hasn't so far.
Are we going to see Vientos and or Mauricio at some point, or we're going to stick with Vogelbach and the like?
Well, and I think that's, at this point, they have to find a way. If the pitching staff's not going to be elite and you want to, you know, put yourself in a position where you might make the playoffs, you have to upgrade the offense. There's no way around that. You know, the comparison I've used in the past with between the Braves right now and the Phillies and the Mets, it's like watching a heavyweight or a middleweight going up against heavyweights. You know, since June 1st of last year, the Mets are 16 and a half games worse than the Braves in the regular season standings. And they've been out-homered by about 50%. That's just not sustainable unless you have absolutely dominant starting pitching. And so however they're going to do it, I think at some point they have to start talking about potential upgrades along the lines of what you're talking about. And, you know, it's hard for me, not having seen the young players in minor leagues and how they're playing right now and, you know, seeing what's in the trade market, how that's got to happen. But that has to be the pull this cord in case of emergency. They have to find a way to upgrade that offense.
Buster only joins us here on the show. Buster, how do you explain, or can you explain, what's happening with this Tampa team and how they consistently are able to do what they're doing?
Yeah. I mean, first off, they clearly, you know, as an organization, they're so good at coaching. And it's speaking with players about things that will help make them better because, you know, they bring in guys from other organizations and they give them two or three things and the players figure it out. And this is why every October when teams are looking to hire managers or coaches or front office people, they raid the Rays organization. And that's always been the case with their pitching staff. This year, I think because they're getting elite performances out of a couple of guys in their lineup, it's now even their offense has gone next level. The idea, and I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but the idea that they've out-homered their opponents by more than 3-1, it's something like 85 homers, the most in the big leagues, and they've allowed 28. Those numbers are absurd. And you can have a great offense when you do so much mixing matching like they do if you have a couple of core performers. Wander Franco's that, Arozarena's that type of guy. And then around those guys, you know, they're able to generate a lot of runs. It's amazing how well they're playing. That's what I said before. Yeah, Verlander wasn't great last night, but I think a lot of his struggles last night were how excellent the plate appearances were for the Rays.
All right, last one. We'll let you go, and thanks so much, as always. And that is bigger disappointment at the quarter mark of the season, Mets or Padres?
Wow. Well, you know, it's hard for me to say anything other than the Padres, because I picked the Padres to win the World Series. And, you know, the idea that in their last 10 games, they're 2-8, you know, they're not clicking offensively, even close to what people expected. you know, it's amazing that those are the two teams that during the course of the winter, we talked about the owners are all in. They're willing to spend whatever it takes. And, you know, the Mets put together a record payroll. The Padres have put together a payroll that's like 5 times greater than it was, you know, 6-7 years ago. And yet here we are. Both teams are clearly in trouble, especially with the Dodgers playing so well in the West again. And with the Braves, you know, considered, I know, by folks around baseball to already have separated themselves as the best team in the National League.
All right, Buster, we appreciate you. Take care of those beautiful pearly whites, and we'll talk to you very soon, I hope.
I'm going to regret ever telling that.
No, okay? Be proud
Why?
Of it.
Why? You have beautiful teeth. You have elite teeth. Hall of Fame teeth.
Yeah, I mean, you get milk right from the udder. It probably helps extra calcium. Those teeth are gorgeous.
Yeah. You probably have no bone damage at all. It's gorgeous.
100%. Cheese had a lot to do with it. No question. Thank you.
Buster, we appreciate you. We'll talk to you soon.
See you guys.
All right. That, of course, the great Buster Olney.
I found myself wondering if Buster could milk you.
And there we go again.
You started it today.
I started what?
You said nasty stuff to me all day.
Nasty stuff. Walked in. You going to drink that water? That's disgusting
water.
No, you
almost dropped it on my head.
Who has that kind of water? Look at those grapes. What's wrong with your grapes? Right away. I come in good mood. Hey, how you doing? And this is the thanks I get. You know what? How about, can you at least emote some energy and excitement about the Mets tailgate?
Yes.
That I can get from you?
I'm excited for that.
Thursday, June 1.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, which is 2 weeks away. You can hang with us all day long. All right, we start the day broadcasting live from Publicans in Manhasset, 6 to 10.
Beautiful.
Gorgeous.
Gorgeous place.
Doesn't get better. I've never been to Publicans.
Oh, you're going
to
love it.
What am I going to expect?
It's a beautiful spot. I mean, it's right in the downtown heart of Manhasset. Drinks will be flowing.
You think they'll have sliced fruit?
If you ask.
I'd like that.
All right.
I'd like sliced, delicious fruit. Then we go from Publicans to Citi Field, the parking lot, for a tailgate starting at 11 o'clock in the morning.
We're going to have cornhole. We're going to have food. We're going to have, apparently, one of our company members is going to bring the music.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You think we could set up a pickleball court?
No.
No?
No, I don't think that's... I mean, now you're getting crazy.
It's some chalk, a net, paddles, and a ball.
It's a lot.
I think it's doable. All right, so no pickleball, but we will play cornhole. I'm going to smash you in cornhole.
There is no chance.
Okay.
All right.
All that leading into the game, 1 o'clock against the Philadelphia Phillies, the Dirty Phillies. So spend the day with us on Thursday, June 1, starting at Publicans, gorgeous spot in Manhasset, over to Citi Field for the DiPietro and Rothenberg tailgate, and then we're headed to the game, Rick. All right, and we're sitting in section 128. So get your tickets and hang with us all day long, courtesy of the fine folks here at 98.7 ESPN.
In our beautiful new jerseys.
That's right. There's going to be jerseys for us.
Jerseys for us. It's all sorts of stuff.
RJ, you're going to be there too.
I will be at the tailgate.
And you're going to be hanging and mingling with the people.
With the people.
The only way this gets better, it's probably impossible, we catch a foul ball.
That would be nice.
We catch a foul ball, forget it. I may streak the field.
Because you got to figure, it's not going to be sold out. There's going to be...
There should be some space to roam.
There's going to be some space. You going to have a hot dog?
Maybe.
Some kraut?
No. Man, I'm not a kraut guy.
What?
On the hot dog, no. No, mustard, relish, or onions. I like the onions. Mushroom and onion.
Sauerkraut?
No sauerkraut. No.
Please tell me you're a mustard guy, not a ketchup guy.
Yeah, mustard. I just told you. Mustard and relish or mustard and the onions. I like the mustard.
No, sauerkraut is troubling, though.
I never grew up having sauerkraut on the hot dog.
Really?
Yeah, no.
But sauerkraut on its own is a tasty little...
Delicious.
Side.
Yeah, yeah.
Side.
Delicious.
Sweet baby. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, but not...
Not
now. Now, when I was in Germany, the sauerkraut on the sausage, on the brat.
But you didn't bring that
on the weisswurst.
That love back to put it on the hot dog.
No,
interesting. RJ, you a sauerkraut on the hot dog guy?
I'm not, and I just took a quick survey around the room. Me, Brendan, Brandon, and Ray.
All four of you?
None of us sauerkraut on the hot dog.
I mean, you can enjoy the hot dog without the sauerkraut. I just think it adds a little to it.
Yeah, I don't. No.
And it becomes a more filling meal as well.
Right, yeah. But I just, I mean,
sauerkraut, very low in calories.
But you got four people that say,
Well, I think it shows who we're working with here.
Maybe we have RJ try it on.
Yeah, RJ, have you ever had the sauerkraut?
I have not.
Why? Well, he doesn't even know if he doesn't like it.
Right. I've never had it on the hot dog.
Well, why?
I don't know. Is it readily available in most places?
Yes, most places you can get sauerkraut.
I think you go relish over sauerkraut, no?
You can go relish. You can go onions. You're a ketchup guy, aren't you?
No, ketchup, mustard.
Yeah, wouldn't you love to see a foot long in his hand? Like how big that would be?
I would.
Weirdo.
See, he's very depressed. He's taking shots at everybody today.
Yeah, well, I was looking forward to the grapes. Had a couple grapes. Had a couple bad ones. So I'm off the grapes. Then I pick up a banana. Literally breaks in half.
You know,
my hand.
You're such a little liar.
How am I a liar?
Because you were eating.
Yeah, I was on the grapes.
He ate grapes. I said, "How are they?" He goes, "Pretty good."
He said, "There's a couple." I said, "There's a couple good ones."
And then he found some disease.
And now I'm off the wagon.
You know what? I'm going to go in there at the next break.
He may have food poisoning.
I'm going to take all the fruit. I'm going to throw it away. And you will never see fruit again.
No. See, don't do that.
No. Sorry.
Talk about lashing out.
Back to the tailgate.
All right, no, forget about the tailgate. Forget about we did the read for the tailgate.
Put some sauerkraut on your banana.
That would be disgusting.
Try it.
Yeah, for you, it'll be fine.
Low calorie.
Yeah, you ever had it?
Yeah. Love both.
It's very long, very long calories.
Low calorie.
Let's, you know what? Forget, I'm not doing Stump Rothenberg today.
Yeah, you are.
Come on.
No. Come on. Stop.
Sorry.
Don't be a baby.
If we were going to do it, it would have been brought to you by Sharp Hat, though. That's a good
company. I'm going to hit the intro.
No, you can hit the intro, but we're not.
He knows sports.
I'm intrigued by a lot of guys.
And he's very humble.
I go away, this show dies.
So now it's time to see if you can stump Rothenberg.
Is the DS4 or 7, by the way?
All right, if we were going to do Stump Rothenberg today, it would, in fact, be brought to you by Sharp Hat, but we're not going to, so...
Oh, the bet is running.
Great. And that was Stump Rothenberg brought to you by...
No, the board is full of Stump Rothenberg calls.
What do you mean?
There's an open line. No, not now.
Not
green now.
Not
anymore. Put it on hold. Okay, just put it on hold.
I answer right on air. Go live right on air.
I can't answer it.
If you hit on one, go right live on air.
Introduce yourself.
No. Don't do that.
You're scared.
You don't know who that could be. It could be a murder. You can't open the door like that. Can't let people into the home like that. What's the matter with you? Fine. You want to play?
I want to play. Brandon's got a question. He said it's good.
Yeah, right. All right, fine. We'll start with Andy and Merrick. Andy, good morning. You're on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey now, DNR. Andy from Merrick bringing a baseball question.
All right.
Ronald Acuna of the Braves is having a really terrific year. He has a shot at 20-plus homers and 70-plus stolen bases. That feat has only been accomplished twice in a season in Major League Baseball history. Name those two guys.
So it's what, 20 home runs?
And 70 steals by only two players.
In one season?
20 and 70 in a season.
Oof. He's had 70 steals?
No, he's on pace.
Oh, he's on pace for 70.
Ricky Henderson has to be one of them, no? Well,
Ricky Henderson is one of them. Name the other.
My God. That's a lot of steal. I mean, the 30 home runs is not...
I said 20 home runs.
Yeah, 20 home runs. 70 steals. I don't think Willie Mays ever had 70.
You look like a base stealer. When you play Little League, you steal bases?
Me?
Yeah.
No.
No chance.
No. You say all these nasty things. I was fast as a kid.
I know.
I was a skinny kid.
I was asking you a serious question. You got two athletic kids. I wanted to ask you a serious question.
I was an elite glove, though.
Defender.
Yes. Yeah.
I could see that.
And
Ben's really good defensively, isn't he, at second base?
Mm-hmm. Big playoff game for him tonight.
Maybe you'll stay and watch the whole thing.
Probably. 70. I mean, who's had 70 steals? That in its own right is a 70. Maury Wills never had 70 steals, did he? Vince Coleman never had 70 steals. Ichiro never had 70, did he? I don't know.
Have I stumped Rothenberg?
It's possible. So you got Henderson. Is it Griffey never
had? Give you the year.
No, I don't want the year. That'll give it away. Will you know it? Is it someone within the last? I don't know. No, I probably shouldn't take that.
Recent, Andy, or no?
Within the last 40 years.
Last 40 years.
It's not Willie Mays. 70 steals is a lot. I don't want to waste the whole segment here. Vince Coleman, Maury Wills. I'm going to guess Maury Wills, but I don't think that's right.
Given the buzzer, that is not right. 1980 Cincinnati Reds. A young man named Eric Davis.
Eric, 1980.
Wrong.
That's not nice. 1980?
That's in 80s, around 85, 86.
Okay, yeah, all right. So that's wrong. Eric Davis was a great player. That's 0-1.
Not a great start.
I told you we shouldn't be doing it. We should kill the segment.
No, we should be doing it.
It's a terrible segment.
Come on, regroup.
We'll go to Mike in Englewood. Mike, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, what's up, Dave? I got another baseball question for you.
All right,
so the 1997 World Series ended on a Game 7 walk-off single in the 11th inning. Tell me who got that game-winning hit, who was on the mound, and who scored the World Series winning run.
Jose Mesa.
That's incorrect.
Edgar Renteria, I believe, was involved.
Yes, he was. That's who got the hit.
Yeah. I can picture the guy. Craig Counsell?
Is the one who scored the run.
Now I got to think of a pitcher. I thought it was Mesa was definitely involved in that. Is it a well-known pitcher?
I would say yes.
You would say yes. All right.
What was the question?
1997 World Series, Indians at the time against the Marlins. Game-winning hit. Who scored on that hit, and who was the losing pitcher? I got the hit was Renteria.
The run was Counsell.
Craig Counsell scored. And then who
who was the pitcher?
I thought it was Jose Mesa. He says no. So the pitcher in that game, 7.
By the way, Eric Davis, 1986, 27 home runs, 80 stolen bases.
That's unbelievable. Oh, is it Charles Nagy?
It is Charles Nagy.
Yes!
Okay, all right. So we kind of rebounded a little bit there, right?
We're back.
Seems like a lot of effort here.
No, we're back.
All right, let's go to let's go to a little NBA. And Steve in Brooklyn apparently has an NBA question. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, guys. I got an NBA playoff trivia question for you.
Okay.
Prior to last year's finals, Al Horford held the record with 141 playoff games without an NBA Finals appearance. Who is the current record holder with 130 playoff games and no Finals appearance?
He's active.
No, all-time record.
So,
well, he doesn't have to be active. I will say, I guess, he is not active anymore.
Okay. So, most playoff wins with no...
No, just most playoff games without an NBA Finals appearance.
Okay, most playoff games played, no NBA Finals appearance.
Correct.
I And what's the number? Over 100, you said?
130.
Joe Johnson could be up there. Paul Millsap could be up there. He was all over the place. I don't think he ever went to the finals. Terry Cummings. Another one. Those Pacers teams. Cummings, Millsap, Ricky Davis, maybe. I'm gonna go. excuse me, with Paul Millsap. Final answer, Louisiana Tech.
So everybody you named in the top four, and Paul Millsap is number one.
Yes.
All right. Now we're grooving. It's a different level of genius. You're listening to DPH on Rothenberg on 98.7 ESPN, WEPN FM, New York. That's 2-1, yes?
Look at you all of a sudden now. Okay, I feel it. Confidence is coming back.
That was good. And you know what else is amazing to me?
What?
There's supposed to be singular answers.
There's not.
Get all these multiple part questions.
Well, because I think you've proven yourself to a point now where people feel like they have to go multiple to try to get you.
That doesn't seem fair. It doesn't seem
well,
right.
Well, it's not fair, but it's a badge of honor.
Well, Danny in Long Island has a four-part question. You want to go to Danny?
It's a lot.
All right. Let's see what you got, Danny. Four-parter. Go ahead.
Good morning, guys. I'd like to announce that I will be attending both the tailgate and the Met game.
Nice, yes, Danny. Danny, yes. Can we give at a minimum fist bump, maximum a hug?
Oh, absolutely.
Great.
And I'm going to donate my security services to Dave to make sure any irate fans get a little too close or a little too huggy. I will have them removed from the tailgate and the stadium immediately.
Well, because you know ESPN's not going to provide
that. Well, it's
going
to be tough for Dave to hug anyone while he's holding Mendy's hand.
Oh, boy. Listen, if the Mets keep losing, we could have a whole pickleball tournament in the parking lot. We could set up 15 nets.
All right, Danny, let's not be negative
today.
Go ahead.
Here we go. Mm-hmm. Zach Greinke struck out a batter on Saturday and joined an elite group of four other pitchers that have struck out 1,000 different major league players. They're all well-known pitchers. They're all modern era. They're all pitched during the time of Dave's life. Who are the other four pitchers who have struck out 1,000 different major league players?
I mean, 1,000.
1,000 different
Nolan Ryan,
players.
Right? Randy Johnson. It's got to be Carlton. So it's 1,000 different batters.
Correct.
Struck out by the pitcher.
You probably go with some of the greats. I mean, go to the greats.
Well, you got to think about Randy Johnson. You got to think about Carlton. You got to think about
Clemens.
Colfax. You got to think about Clemens. You got to think about, I mean, these are the names you think about, right?
Maybe Maddox.
Maddox has over 3,000. I mean, Ryan has over 5,000.
So, all right. So, put him on the list. So, Nolan Ryan won.
Correct.
Okay. And how many are there?
There's four.
Four.
Who's the second one you said, Randy Johnson?
But Greinke makes four, Greinke makes five.
Greinke makes five.
Uh-huh. And we put Maddox, or you didn't put Maddox?
No, we didn't put Maddox. We got, so far, we have Nolan Ryan.
All right, I'll put Maddox.
Correct.
Randy Johnson has to be.
Okay.
Randy Johnson.
Correct.
And Clemens.
You going Clemens?
Is that right?
Is Clemens right?
Correct.
Yes.
4-for-4.
Excellent team effort there, man.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Danny.
All right, so that's 3-1.
Rough
start. Really remedied that. You want Brendan to ask his question now?
Oh. Yeah, I guess.
All right, Brendan, go ahead.
All right, I will say I'm very nervous after slandering.
Did you get a
scold?
Like, you asked your question last week. It was not good, right, Rick? You agree?
It was very, very average.
Did you get, because I know Rick takes this very seriously and doesn't like underwhelming performances. I mean that, like, he really doesn't. Did you get talked to on the way home last week?
No, he just, you know, didn't talk about it, didn't bring it up. But then I asked for his advice today and just no help. So
you left him all on an island.
Well, he wants to go off on his own.
If he stinks today,
he's done.
Is he removed from asking
it's
questions?
It's clear that he has no on-air talent and he's off.
Okay. All right.
All right, with that, no pressure.
Yeah, just think about, just close your eyes and imagine your bald cats.
It's going to be a hockey question, isn't it?
No, basketball.
Oh, okay, NBA.
Yeah, with the Joker, we were talking about him. So which three NBA players have the most triple doubles in NBA history?
Magic Johnson.
He's three, yes.
He's three?
Yes.
Thought he was one. Most triple doubles. And Jokic is not in that top three,
Oscar?
Right?
No. No to Dave.
Oscar Robertson?
He's two, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And now we're looking for...
I'm having a good day.
You are. Most triple... So we got Magic, we got Oscar Robertson, LeBron.
No.
Oh, God, you stink!
I was thinking.
I mean, what about... I mean, I'm not... I'm just saying. I'm spitballing here. I mean, doesn't Russell Westbrook have to be close up there at some point?
Yes,
look at me.
Sir.
Look at me.
Okay. I think you're going to be very upset with him. I don't think he's right.
Well, there's only one way to find out.
RJ, can you...
Raymond Santiago is the fact checker.
Somebody's got to look this up. There's no way LeBron doesn't have more triple-doubles than Russell Westbrook.
Hmm. You can hear him typing.
That's fine.
He's checking right now.
And he should. I'd like to challenge that.
All right.
The flag has been thrown.
Flag has been thrown.
Russell Westbrook, 198 triple-doubles.
Wait. I thought you said in the postseason.
I think it was overall.
Oh. It was overall?
Yes.
Brendan?
Yeah, I said all-time overall.
Oh, I was thinking postseason.
Come on. Pay attention. You got to pay attention.
He said Jokic had a triple-double last night.
Yeah.
That changes everything.
Well, I was just giving you a little backstory to my question.
I got confused.
Where's Jokic on the list?
Jokic got to be up there. He's probably, I don't know.
He's six. He's two behind LeBron.
In the history of the NBA, Jokic is six in triple-doubles.
Right behind Jay Kidd.
Yeah, I messed up on that then.
That's all right. I had your back.
No, but I don't know why he would... No. All right.
Well, listen, don't try to get into set. It's a weird place.
Go ahead. Blame Brandon.
Now, you assumed.
You know you want to
talk about that. I assumed it was postseason.
He's going to throw you right under the bus.
Because you know why I was so quick with Magic? Because they showed Magic as number one. That's why I said Magic was number one, right? Because they showed Magic was number one last night, and then I got perplexed. When you
nobody
said that,
had
so.
Any idea that Magic was going to die.
Great. RJ, what are we doing here now? You going five-pack? We're going another question or two? What do you want to do?
Hmm.
You think about that. This portion of the show, driven by the All-American Ford Auto Group, number one volume Ford group in the Northeast. Huge, enormous locations in Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant. Shop allamericanford.net. That, in fact, is allamericanford.net.
I have one question that will dictate where we go from here.
Mm-hmm.
I know that 2006, the Mets, how the season ended was very dark. Carlos Beltran, not good, right?
No, the strikeout against Wainwright.
How familiar are you with the situation? Not that at bat.
What do you mean the situation?
What was going on, players involved in the situation? Mets were losing, needed some runs, maybe there were some guys on base.
I'm not going to remember who's on base.
Okay, then we will go to the five-pack.
let's go to the five-pack. Rick, do you want to play the guys on base?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm still trying to figure out how I got an email from some Julian.
Julian Birnbaum.
Kushnick.
Oh,
at least Kushnick, you got right. The name right on
Well, he's
days.
Looking at it!
You called him Julian Bombard.
You didn't even call him Julian. You called him like John or something.
But that's when I wasn't looking at it.
I have some good news for you, though.
Great. What?
You're going to get more emails.
A lot more.
I want off this chain.
Yeah. I don't know how I got on this chain. I don't know why I'm on this chain. I don't
Welcome
care what the K-Show
talked
about 3:45 yesterday.
Yeah, because it's your world.
You should know.
It's your world. I don't need the sound and the recap and everything else.
I think you need to know.
I got a cut sheet.
Yeah, right.
I think this is helpful for both of you.
It's helpful for nobody.
You get quarter-hour breakdowns.
Listen, now when you want to know what happened on this show on this date when it got a certain number, now you can figure it out yourself. You don't need to ask
people. I'll give
people.
You a certain number.
What would that number be?
Yeah,
what would that number be?
I don't know. Take off your shirt. I'll show you.
You usually got to pay for that kind of action. Drew Brees.
Where are we? What about Drew Brees?
Purdue.
Oh, yeah, Purdue.
What's his middle name?
Wandell.
Moley.
No, you're nasty. You're nasty Breeze.
What?
Oh, my God.
All right. What about Drew Breeze? Where is your head today?
Well, I forgot we're doing the five-pack. All right, so that's one. We work as a team anyway.
Oh, my goodness.
Go ahead. I'm going to let he always gets the first opportunity to answer.
Robert Horry.
Big Shot Bob.
That's right.
Big college football school.
I mean, come on.
Big college football school. Biggest college football.
Alabama?
There you go.
Hey.
See what I do for you?
Thank you.
I'd be impressed if you know this one. Not Dave, Rick.
Thanks.
Todd Heap.
No idea. You know
Herm? Yeah, Herm Edwards.
I was just
The coach of the school.
Just recently?
Recently.
The Sun Devils.
That's
Arizona
right.
Arizona State.
There you go.
Yeah. This one, very tough. Toughest of the five pack.
Okay.
Theo Ratliff.
Okay. It's a school in the out west, not on the coast, but in a state like Wyoming.
A state like or? Yeah.
Wyoming.
Yes! Good job!
Were you trying to think of a city in Wyoming?
Yep.
No, I know impressive. Cheyenne, capital of Wyoming. Cheyenne.
That was very impressive.
Yeah.
And finally, T.J. Duckett.
The running back?
That's right.
A Big Ten. Is that right, Big Ten?
Oh, yeah.
Played for George Perlis, maybe.
I think that might be right.
Michigan State.
Yep.
There you go.
Look at you.
Boom.
Look at you.
That was good.
I am too smart.
And that's why Stump Rothenberg is brought to you by Sharp Hat. Because I have the sharpest hat in the biz.
Sharp.
Game-changing custom software. What are you laughing about?
No.
Game-changing customs. If you need software to be built.
This is where you go.
This is where you go.
Yep. And very comfortable sweatshirt. Very.
Have you worn it?
Yes.
I've worn it.
Oh.
It's hanging in my closet.
Buttery.
Though. Really?
Buttery.
You wear it right to skin?
Yeah.
You don't, there's no t-shirt under.
Well, I wear it around the house. I don't wear a t-shirt. Yeah, I would throw it on. Very comfortable.
Really?
Yeah.
So if you needed something to be written, some analytics, some programs, you'd go right to Sharp Hat,
wouldn't you? Yeah, Sharp
Hat. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what the beauty of the Sharp Hat is we actually met.
We met all the Sharp Hats from
the Sharp
company.
Hats. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they're the ones that are going to actually help you.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting the sharpest of the hats.
Did you like any of them more than the others, or you like them all?
I like them all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All the same?
Like, look, I'm using the notebook right now. Look at Sharp Hat notebook.
You really are.
Yeah. Dave, where's your notes?
My notes?
Yeah.
The man walks in with nothing but a smile.
Right
nothing.
Here.
Oh, well, he walks with fruit.
Right.
But barely.
Right here.
You didn't
all
know.
My,
you didn't know.
You're
hitting yourself very hard right now.
No, I'm fine.
You didn't know a city or a state like Wyoming.
Yeah. So, well, because I was trying to make it as easy as possible.
Right.
For him.
Again, another shot. Thanks.
What do you mean?
You know exactly what I mean.
And I was trying to make it as easy as possible.
You're insinuating that I'm not smart.
Listen, if you take it like that, that's on you. I didn't insinuate anything.
You know what you're doing.
I said I'm trying to make it as easy as possible.
Okay.
In a condescending way.
Wasn't condescending. See, you know what? I'm ahead of my time. That's the problem here.
Yeah, right.
Is that what we're calling
it? They're going to study me in the future. They're going to look and be like, you know what? This guy, he got it before anybody else got it to this level.
A 50-year-old child. That's what you are.
So?
It's so?
Maturity is completely overrated.
Okay.
Well, sorry. What do you want me to button my shirt to all the way to the top and just walk around like, Pythagorean theorem.
There was
A squared plus B squared equals C squared.
If there was a motto for Dave Rothenberg to live by, it's maturity is overrated.
It's completely overrated. If you're mature, you're missing out on so much life.
To a degree.
I'm not saying that you don't buckle the kids' seatbelts and take them to where they have to go. But if you're all stuffy and boring and bland, you suck.
Yeah, I don't think that's what we meant. But
I don't think that's what they meant when they said they want you to be young at heart. I don't think that's what they meant.
Maturity is overrated. We'll get Dave a t-shirt.
Maturity is completely overrated. I stand by it.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.